Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Ali Moreno. A little later on in the programme, Stevie and Don will be here to reflect on Liverpool's 1-0 victory over Wolves. But we kick things off in La Liga as we welcome in Julian Laurent into the show. Of course, on a day that Barcelona closed the gap on Atletico Madrid at the top of the table to just 4 points with their win over Huesca. Ali, I feel just drawn, instead of talking about the game, Barcelona won. Better goal, Messi or Griezmann? Because both of them had us going,
Yeah. In particular, Griezmann, because we haven't seen a lot of Griezmann in those sort of goals. So it was like,
I'm going to say Lionel Messi because of the initial touch that gets him away from the initial pressure as the defender sliding in. Then he's able to turn, and as a defender is closing, he's using the defender to shield the goalkeeper and around the defender, off the post, down to the ground, up the post again, and in. There was some drama to it. I think we want to take Lionel Messi's
goal. Yeah, it makes
goal.
It more spectacular, doesn't it, when it comes in off the crossbar. But does it make it more spectacular when a Frenchman scores it, Jules?
Certainly. And he's a bit further out, if you look at it, compared to Messi's goal. But they certainly cleaned the top corner. If there was a little spider web or anything still left in that top corner after the Messi goal, Griezmann definitely cleaned it. For a long time, two fantastic goals for them on a very special night for Leo Messi as well, of course.
Messi, of course, will he equal the record of Xavi? Good research, Dan. Well done. Plus, for the 20th season in a row, he scored more than 20 goals.
That's right. So it was a good night for Lionel Messi.
Yep.
And a good night for Barcelona. Now, let me just bring a little bit of just kind of saying there's still some issues in this team.
Oh, Ali, they won.
They did. Damn, but did you see him defending?
Oh, yes.
Did you see this team defend tonight? And that's when you just go, man, they can be so good at times and then they can be so bad. And had it not been for the worst miss that I've seen this year from Rafa Mir, this big striker from Huesca, who somehow from less than a yard out from goal misses what is a tap-in, and honestly, it's harder to miss than to put in the back of the net. This game would have been 3-2 with 30 minutes to go. He didn't score, he missed, Barcelona goes on to win it 4-1, and we all kind of say, yeah, well, we expected this from Barcelona, dominant performance. It was dominant, but still, the defending is so easy how a team like Huesca, who's last in La Liga, were able to break down Barcelona a few times during the game for the penalty kick and then for that chance for Rafa Mir.
Barcelona can win La Liga, Jules.
I mean, I disagree slightly with Ali because I thought, of course, defensively, they need to improve, especially on the transition, defensive transition, where Busquets, obviously, has never been really good at running anywhere, and Pedri is still so young to play in that central position that they get a bit exposed. But I just thought going forward, and it was against a team that plays so deep that we didn't see Ousmane Dembele. This is very hard for him to play in that position, in that formation, when you played against that kind of team, which we explained before. But I still thought when Messi is like this, they can beat anyone on their day. And they certainly are coming for Atletico. Let's not forget that they will play Atletico Madrid as well this season. They also have a Real Madrid game to come in the Clasico after the international break. And I really think that is game on for La Liga now, which is something that I don't think we would have been saying a couple of weeks ago.
You know what? I don't think I asked that question though. I don't think I asked if Barcelona were going to be competitive or if it was game on in La Liga. It's like talking to Gab, a long-winded answer that doesn't end with the result that I wanted.
Gab and Jules podcast.
I know you've been hanging around with them too long, Jules.
I thought that's what you asked.
No, the question was, will Barcelona win La Liga?
No.
now you've got a bit too short now.
We've got to find a happy medium there.
I still think Atletico have enough in them. They have the obviously four points advantage, which is a lot of points, and I still think that Atletico will be out of the Champions League as well on Wednesday night, so they will also only have the league to focus on, which is a huge thing when you come down to the last sprint in the season, like Barcelona. So I can still see Atleti just keeping that advantage and still winning that title.
Will Barcelona win La Liga? Don't say they're contender and don't go on a big long rant about
Not yet, Dan. Not yet. Talk to me next week because it's only a matter of time before Atletico Madrid continues to leak oil. I've trusted this team the whole season.
Right, so if they leak, if they're on that
Well, that's what I'm saying.
If they continue to leak oil, slope,
and eventually it feels like it's a matter of time. But that game, of course, Barcelona-Atletico Madrid will decide everything.
Yeah, Barcelona, of course, out of the Champions League. Will Real Madrid be joining them? They're in action against Atalanta on Tuesday. Zinedine Zidane's side have a 1-0 lead going into this tie. Jules, if you're a Real Madrid fan, despite that lead, I'm not sure how much confidence you're going into this tie with.
Not much, Dan, that's for sure, because Casemiro is suspended and he has been with Courtois and Benzema, one of your three top players, top performers this season, and he's not there. And it's not so much that he's not there, it's that you've got no one else really of that kind of profile. Of course, Fede Valverde would play and he's a really good player and young player, but he's not Casemiro, especially not this season when he's had a lot of injury as well. Sergio Ramos came back at the weekend against Elche, played for an hour, but he was only fit for an hour really after being out for so long since, well, mid-January it was. So there's a lot of things, and okay, Kroos and Modric are going to come back. They were rested against Elche and came on late, but they will come back. But It's still not great from what we saw the weekend either from Real Madrid. If Benzema doesn't save them, they drop more points. Hazard is injured again. So there's a lot of things not really positive right now for them. And Atalanta will fear no one and nothing. And they would believe they can go to Valverde Bas and win that game and win that tie and go through.
Who's going through?
Real Madrid is going through. And it won't be pretty. In fact, it'll be downright ugly. But it's very much what Real Madrid has been this season. It's a dependency on Karim Benzema coming up with a goal and coming up with something special when they need it the most. And that's what it's going to have to happen for Real Madrid. It will not be comfortable. Nothing is comfortable for Real Madrid. Even a game against Elche was very uncomfortable. Atalanta will showcase some of their athleticism, will go on runs against Real Madrid. If they get Real Madrid stretched, Real Madrid is in trouble because they do not have the athleticism to the midfield to keep up. But if Real Madrid are able to control the middle through Kroos and Modric and their possession of the ball, I think Real Madrid will do just enough.
Well, ahead of that game, inevitably, Zinedine Zidane was asked about the possibility of Cristiano Ronaldo returning to Madrid. He said maybe, but he's a Juventus player. We'll see what happens in the future. Now, this was, of course, all stirred up last week. But what, Jules, I thought would put it all to bed was that Instagram post that we saw from Cristiano Ronaldo on Sunday saying, I'm looking forward to winning more with Portugal and Juventus.
You're right, because we also saw in the Madrid newspapers on Saturday morning, both us and Marca, the front page was all about he wants to come back here. And we know how Jorge Mendes works, and we know how all this... we know all the system, really. When things like this come out in that way, it's because at some point someone said something. I was really surprised by Zinedine Zidane's answer, I have to be honest today, because other people at Real Madrid have also been briefing people that it's not going to happen, that he's 36, that he's still right now would cost a lot of money to bring him back to the club, despite the legend that he is, of course, at Real Madrid, and that maybe they should, not that they should, they will focus on players who are 15 years younger than him, like Erling Haaland, like Kylian Mbappe, and not like on the 36-year-old. That's not what they need right now, really, to be fair and to be honest. So I was surprised that Zidane was so open about it, so positive in a way, especially also, as you said, after what Ronaldo posted on social media, what Fabio Paratici as well, the Juventus sporting director, also said at the weekend, Cristiano will be in Turin at Juventus next season too. So there's a lot of different voices, as always, in this case, but it'll be quite a long saga, I expect, with Ronaldo again this year.
Meanwhile, in the same press conference, Zidane confirmed that Hazard will be out for...
Again?
Look at this. Since he's joined Chelsea, from Chelsea, he's played 36 games. Played. He hasn't started one of those, by the way. 54 matches he's missed. 11 different injuries. He's scored 4 goals.
Woo!
4 goals. That is the return that Real Madrid have got after spending a lot of money on the Belgian international. Jules, I'm drawn to you because we discussed this, of course, in the past, and we discussed whether or not he's up there as one of Real Madrid's worst ever transfers. Mm. You didn't even have him in the top 10, I think I'm right.
Mm-hmm.
Does that change now?
Yeah. So the issue I had at the time, and me and Ali were on that show, and Ali didn't agree with me, and I get it, was the players on that top 10 were fit for most of their Real Madrid career. So they either played and were rubbish, or they were not even picked because they were that bad, right? the issue I had with Hazard was that, and Ali disagreed with what I'm just going to say, but it's not his fault if he spent all that time injured. He didn't ask anyone to injure. Always, all he wanted was to make his dream come through, to sign for Real Madrid, the biggest club in the world for him. That was his dream since he was a kid, to one day play for them, especially with Zinedine Zidane as a manager. All those injuries, and yet I know he came back from holidays, 5 kilos overweight, and what he does in his private life.
Have you changed your mind, Jules?
Professional football players should do. But I think it's unfair to call him a flop when most of it, 80% of it, was because he was injured, which is surely not what he wanted.
But Jules, which completely contradicts your argument. You've got Jonathan Woodgate in at number two, who just had a complete...
Woodgate had injuries, but nothing like Hazard.
Oh, he did, Jules. Come on.
He played a lot, Dan. I mean, his first game, he scored an own goal and got sent off.
I know. I was there. It's back in my old days.
Yeah, I know you were
there. TV days. But you can't say that Woodgate was a big flop because... his injuries were the key as to why he failed at Real Madrid, and Hazard's injuries are exactly the same.
But Hazard has been there 18 months, and we've never seen anything like this before anywhere. Someone who's so much injured. And, you know, again, I go back to what I was saying the first time we had discussion. When Thomas Meunier in the Champions League game against PSG almost breaks his ankle, this is not Eden Hazard's fault. And you know, that sideline him for 6 months or something like that? Ridiculous. You know, he was playing. He was getting better, of course. And I know Ali is going to mention it. And he's right, 100%. You don't come back to a new club like this, 5 or 6 kilos overweight. This is wrong. And I agree with that. But there's a lot of factors in why Hazard has been so much injured, why he is flopped, that was not down to him. That's the only point I want to make.
But it's still a terrible signing.
Yes, it is. Regardless of how we got here, it's a terrible signing because of the money you have invested, because of the expectations that you had on the player, because of the return that you expected from this player and what you have gotten so far. Those things don't match up. And while it is the case, indeed, that I appreciate this was his dream, if indeed it was his dream, he could have done a whole lot better job of being ready to play for Real Madrid from the first minute, knowing full well the player that he was taking the place of. The master of fitness in Cristiano Ronaldo. The master of professionalism in Cristiano Ronaldo.
Is he the worst ever transfer for Real Madrid?
He's getting there, very much so. Yes!
Living the dream. Jules continues, though, to live his dream of having a podcast with the Gab Marcotti. You can download the latest edition of it over on the website.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Diego Jota's goal on the stroke of half-time is nice to see Liverpool beat Wolves by 1-0. Here to reflect on that game, Stephen Nicol and Donna Hutchison with us. Stevie, what should we say about this?
Liverpool won a game. How about that? And it was actually a nice goal as well. You know, we've been criticising the front three. Obviously, Jota played today. But the goal came from the three of them. Good one-time, one-touch passing. And eventually, Jota puts the ball in the back of the net. Goalkeeper probably should have done better, but it was a good move. It was power enough that they got the goal. So Liverpool's won a game. How about that?
There you go. Liverpool win a game. Don, have they turned a corner? Is that it? Top four guaranteed?
No, Dan. They were far from that. The best players on the park for Liverpool tonight were the two fullbacks and the two centre-halves. Second half, they were all over the place. They couldn't keep the ball. They were panicking. They were nervy. They were just smashing it up front, trying to clear their lines. I understand it, trying to hang on to a 1-0 lead. They got lucky, though, because in my opinion, Alisson should have given a penalty away after 2 minutes. But listen, I think, you know, it's a win. It's on the road again. Away form's decent. That's all you can say. There was nothing really to build on. Confidence was still low, but the win's the most important thing. It builds a little bit of confidence, but far from being back.
And we all saw the replays of the incident that Dom brought up. It was a penalty, wasn't it?
Well, maybe VAR was warming up.
Was it 70 seconds in?
Yeah, that's right. They're not quite into the rhythm of the game. They haven't settled down just yet. And neither, obviously, had Alisson because he drops the ball. And when Don refers to a dip in confidence, it's a dip in confidence across the board, including Alisson. He drops the ball, and now he's panicking himself. He's trying to see where the ball is and actually comes across Nelson Semedo. It's a penalty, no doubt about it. But it's not called. VAR, obviously, still warming up in the game, still getting settled. Not called either. As for Liverpool as a whole, what you see from this team, and again, I'll use the terms that Don was using, is, yeah, they look nervous and panicky and low in confidence. Well, it's what you expect from a team that has had so many difficulties actually seeing games out and actually getting wins and getting back-to-back wins. And if you haven't done it for a while, well, you're going to do whatever you can to hang on as much as you possibly can. But the truth of the matter is that it wasn't pretty. They'll take the 3 points, and that's all you can take from this game. 3 points, and that's it.
So let's just take a look then. They are 5 points off Chelsea that sit in that Champions League spot. West Ham, of course, fifth. They do have a game in hand. West Ham losing on Sunday against Manchester United. Don, is that top four the top four?
I think so, Dan, but in all honesty, it just depends on week by week. Listen, Liverpool play Arsenal next week, and that'll be a sterner test. Wolves are never really going to test Liverpool tonight because they just can't score goals themselves. But listen, who knows in a week's time, if Liverpool beat Arsenal, all of a sudden they edge a little bit closer. You know, Chelsea seem to be the team that have got good form in terms of keeping clean sheets. Leicester, I think, look fantastic at the moment. So I think they're all fighting for one spot, but anything can happen. If you go 3 wins on the spin in the Premier League, you can get very close to being back in the top four.
Is the top four the top four, Stevie?
I'm not so sure. I think West Ham and Leicester are actually vying for that last place. I don't see how Liverpool can put a run of wins together. Yes, they did win today, but my goodness, as the boys have said, they couldn't keep the ball, didn't really create an awful lot. And of course, they've actually got some home games, so they must be terrified to play at home. They probably wish they were playing away from home every week. So, yeah, I don't see Liverpool in the top four.
Boys, you weren't on yesterday, obviously, Arsenal against Spurs, the big game, the big talking point afterwards, certainly from Jose Mourinho's point of view, was the penalty. Stevie, you rang me up during the game shouting about the fact that you don't understand how it was given as a penalty. Do you still stand by that view?
I do, yes. I almost got swayed by all kinds of different arguments about, well, even though the ball was gone, he still made contact. Well, the truth is, the contact is initiated by Lacazette, not by Sanchez. Sanchez has put his leg out to block a shot. That's what he's doing. He's not going towards Lacazette. He's got his leg straight out to block a strike. Now, Lacazette whiffs it, almost completely misses it, and his left leg carries on and hits Sanchez. So, how can that be a penalty? I don't understand it. Let me tell you something. I don't agree too much with Jose Mourinho, but I do on this occasion.
The only thing that I would say, and it's hard for me to make an argument that supports and rewards the fact that, like I said, has a swing and a miss, essentially. But I cannot reward the fact that Davinson Sanchez is late to the challenge and the clumsy nature of the challenge. This whole flying with two legs upstretched and trying to block a shot. In trying to block a shot, I understand, but he's late. And so he only makes that contact because he's late. Had he had been there on time, then there wouldn't have been any sort of contact. To me, I just find it that Davinson Sanchez gets himself in trouble and exposes himself when he goes up in the air with two legs and eventually makes contact with, like I said.
So for you, it's the right decision.
I would say that
since
it was given as a penalty, I can see how it would not be turned around and said, no, there is no penalty. It's not a clear and obvious error. And so therefore, stick to the decision made by the referee.
Stephen?
Ali, let me ask you something. Whose fault is the contact? Who initiates the contact?
The fault of the contact.
Regardless of when Sanchez gets there, Who's the one that actually initiates contact? It's Lacazette.
But we do not know with any sort of certainty, Stevie, if indeed Davinson Sanchez would make contact with Lacazette had Lacazette not missed the shot. We don't know that. You are assuming that. We don't know that. That's not what the video shows us. We don't have the angles to show us that.
Of course it does.
No, it doesn't.
All it shows you is Davinson Sanchez having his leg straight out to block a shot. That's all it shows. And then it shows you a left leg from Lacazette making the contact. Davinson Sanchez doesn't make the movement towards Lacazette. It's the other way around.
Davinson Sanchez comes across the player. And that's all I'm saying, that because he comes out of control and he's late, that's where I can see the referee giving a penalty. That's all.
Don?
That's it, Stevie.
Don, what do you think?
I'll tell you what I do think. When I need a lawyer, I'm calling Ali because I've got no idea what he's trying to say. Because I'll tell you what Davinson Sanchez was trying to do. Because Davinson Sanchez didn't try to make a tackle. Davinson Sanchez was trying to block. So he's trying to block the flight of the ball. So Davinson Sanchez's legs were straight on. They weren't into Lacazette. They were straight on anticipating Lacazette's shot. Now, he sliced it, skewed it badly, and then followed through on the ball onto Davinson Sanchez. So at worst, it's just a coming together. But a penalty, never, ever.
Let's move on and talk about the big story which led up to kickoff. Of course, Aubameyang being dropped to the subs bench. It was a disciplinary reason, according to Arteta. Later, it was revealed that he was late to the game, stuck in traffic. Well, reports suggest that he was the last to arrive and the first to leave. As they were doing the post-match interviews, you could hear his fancy car screeching off from the car park. That's what reports are suggesting. Stevie, from a coach's point of view, I'm just fascinated how you would handle this whole scenario. Would you have dropped him if he was late?
Yes. Not if it was the first time. But clearly, from what we know, this isn't the first time. So it's a straightforward, easy answer. Yes, nobody is bigger than everybody. And you step out of line and you have to take the punishment. And I thought Arteta absolutely, 100% did the correct thing.
So, Don, you've just beaten your bitter rivals. Great performance, arguably one of the best of the season from your side. Your captain doesn't celebrate with you. He chooses to leave. What does that do to the dynamic of the locker room?
I don't think it does much, Dan. I don't think it does much. It's been strengthened by Arteta getting the right result, disciplining his captain. And you have to do that, especially when you've got a young team in Arsenal, all those youngsters looking at your leader, Aubameyang, and he's late for a game. By the way, it's happened to us all, Dan. Everyone's been late for a game. You're stuck in rush hour and you just can't get there. It's not the end of the world. But as Stevie said, it's not the first time it's happened. It happened a million times when he was at Dortmund. He's always been known for a little bit of, you know, bad timekeeping. But Arteta's done the right thing. And by the way, he got the right results. I think Arteta might have been in a little bit more trouble if he didn't come on the right side of the result. Then he would have come in for a little bit of stick. But as a management decision goes, absolutely spot on, because now he'll probably play on Thursday in the Europa League.
Well, that leads me to the next question, Stevie. What happens next with this whole situation?
Nothing.
You don't talk to him, you don't. There's no more discipline, that's it. You turn the page.
Done, absolutely. It's done. And listen, unless they have a rule that you can't leave the ground at least 30 minutes or an hour after the game, then what's wrong with him getting in his car and driving away after 20 seconds? It's done and dusted. You move on. You don't dwell on it. The players won't dwell on it. So it's done.
Gentlemen, as always, thank you very much. Be sure to check out Extra Time over on our YouTube page. Don, Stevie and Ali staying late to answer some of your tweets.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Let's take a look at some controversial calls from the weekend. Theo Hernandez felt he should have had a penalty late on in Milan's defeat against Napoli. He took to Instagram posting this to the referee. He quickly deleted this, obviously. Let's welcome in, shall we, Stevie, Don and Jules to talk about that. Let's ask you the simple question. Don, for you, was it a penalty?
No, it wasn't a penalty. Players have just gone down too easy these days.
But I mean, he put four emojis of someone being sick, Don.
Oh, well, then it's definitely a penalty. I mean, if it was three emojis, someone being sick, it was a no, but four's a definite. It's not a penalty. Everyone's just hitting the floor, screaming.
Stevie?
Hold on a second. Unless I need to go and get new glasses, the defender kicks him in the... just above his Achilles and below his calf.
Come on, Stevie.
So if a defender's stupid enough to make an attempt to get a ball that is nowhere near and connects with the opposition in the penalty box, then it should be a penalty because it is, and also for stupidity. I mean, seriously.
1-0, Ali.
Kicks him in the back of the leg.
You know, I have very loose standards when it comes to this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And that is the definition of a soft, and yet penalty. I'm giving a penalty.
Soft penalty.
Very soft.
Very soft penalty.
Very soft.
Jules?
Yeah.
I give it as well. This is what we saw Barcelona Huesca tonight, Rafa Mir. We saw Icardi against Barcelona. We saw Lacazette against Spurs. They've been given. They've given them because there's contact and is the contact in the box. Like Stevie said, if you're stupid enough to make contact, you get a penalty against you.
Wow, Don, you're in the minority.
We've got to get away. Dan, we've got to get away from contact in the box. God, it's like everyone's just getting a little tap and then Don, screaming and going down. And it's terrible to watch. Stay on your feet.
Don.
Yep.
You know what? You've just made the point. Stay on your feet. Look, a defender's responsibility, right, in the penalty box, to go and try and win the ball, you only do it if you're favourite. Otherwise,
does he foul him, stay on your feet,
you close the ball down, you don't go throwing a leg out and making contact with the opposition.
It's not good for the game,
the rules are really simple. In the penalty box...
It's not great for the game, is it?
But Don, defenders have got to use their brains.
Okay.
If you don't try and kick the guy in the back of the leg, you're not going to get a penalty given against you. It's pretty straightforward.
Well, I'm going to be the minority on every single decision here then.
Okay, well, let's see what you think of this one. Should Theo Hernandez have got more than a yellow card for this challenge, Don?
No, just a yellow. Why the necessity for like people getting sent off and penalties? It's a yellow card. What do you want, a red card for that?
Stevie, I heard a scream.
I'm sorry. You know what? All you've got to do is follow the rules. You know what? Reckless challenge, endangering your opponent. And by the way, he is a smidgen off crippling that guy. Because he's just about to plant his foot on the ground. And he rattles him. It's got red written all over it. He makes no attempt to get the ball. You name it. It's a red card all day long.
I think what's damning here is that there is context to this play. The fact that Theo Hernandez does not get the call on the penalty kick, and the immediate play after that is Theo Hernandez flying down the field, 60 yards, with 1 in 10 and 1 in 10 only, and that is to take the player down in the manner in which he does. There is an intent here to injure the player. There's an intent here to commit this foul in a reckless manner. I think it's a red card. Jules?
I agree with you, but I think Don is still stuck in the 90s because that's a red card every day. There's the frustration. There's the kick. I mean, Osimhen could have injured Osimhen on that tackle.
Okay, here we go then. Cristiano Ronaldo was only given a yellow card for this challenge on the goalkeeper. I'm drawn to you, Don.
Well, I know.
Yes.
Well, I'll be in the minority.
No foul.
Hey, can we get a draw foul?
Nothing.
Yellow card. No, here we go. Yellow card. He's trying to win the ball.
Yellow card.
Yellow card.
Oh.
Stephen.
I'll tell you, thank goodness he's not on VAR. Yellow card. How can we yellow card when you smash the goalie in the face with your studs at head height? How's that yellow card?
What did the rest give? What did the ref give? He's a qualified official.
If you were walking down the street and I did that to you, I'd get a couple of weeks in jail. And you want to give him a yellow card?
Your leg couldn't get that high.
Ali?
Maybe not, no.
There's only one reason as to why Cristiano Ronaldo does not get a red card here.
Because?
And that is because this is right. Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yep.
Otherwise, let me tell you something. This ends up being a red card. Imagine if that was Luis Suarez.
Right.
Huh?
Yes. Or Venezuelan.
Or
any Venezuelan.
Or me, for that matter. It's a red card.
No, you definitely couldn't get your leg on that part.
That's right. That is my kind of wrench, though. I'll tell you that much.
Julian Aron.
I take it back. Donny's not stuck in the 90s. He's stuck in the 60s playing for that United team because there's no foul there, nothing. He could have chopped his head off.
Play on. Play on, Jules. Play on.
Okay.
Hey, flesh wound. It's just a flesh wound.
Jules smiling, which is the first time he's done that, of course, in the last 24 hours after his precious PSG loss against Nantes. No penalty given here in the 20th minute. Why not, Jules?
I've got no idea. It's a disgrace. That was a penalty every day. I'm not sure. They don't even send the referee to have a look at it. I mean, he's clearly listening because he put his finger on his earpiece for the VAR connection, and they said to him, you know, it's fine if you've seen it and you think it's not a pen. And I'm struggling because it was 100% a penalty again.
I'm drawn to Don.
It's 100% not a penalty. It's not. All the defender's done is just shielded himself and shielded the player out of the way with his elbow.
Chinding what? He barges into him.
No, he doesn't barge into him, Jules. He doesn't barge into him. He gives him a little forearm. He gets his forearm across the player. What's a penalty
and
about
the leg,
that?
And the
player's on the way down.
And the leg. He gets the arm and the leg across.
No, he doesn't, Ali. The player's leg goes into... I'm not sure who it was, the PSG boy, but it's not
Kimpembe.
A penalty. Come on. He's hitting 20 penalties a game.
Stevie?
I'm going all in.
Penalty. Penalty.
yeah. Ali Penny.
100% yeah.
Whatever Don says, just go the other way.
Yeah, I mean, honestly. I tell you what, if you agree with Don on anything,
yeah, I know.
You know you have issues.
This is it. Final one. The Werder Bremen taking on Bayern Munich, of course, winning this game by 3-1. Should they have had a penalty here, Stevie?
Yeah, same thing. The defender, having completely gone brain dead for a couple of seconds, tries to get the ball and goes through and rattles Sargent and his left leg. If you watch the replay, it's clear. It actually kicks him.
Yeah.
And his ankle behind his leg.
That's perfect.
So what do you think's going to happen if you do that in front of a referee? It's a penalty.
Here we go. Don?
It's not a penalty. It touches so bad.
Honestly.
It touches so bad.
Seriously.
Honestly, I'm not just saying it. The touch is so bad. And now we're just saying, right, if anyone touches anyone, whether you touch him with your arm, whether you touch someone accidentally...
He doesn't touch him.
Everything
he kicks
now
him.
Is a penalty. He doesn't. He's just running, Stevie. He's running in a straight line. And Sergeant puts his left leg across him. Sergeant puts his left leg across the defender and he forces the contact, which looks like a penalty. It's just accidental. Accidental. The touch is shocking.
Yeah, it's called brain dead. Yeah.
Stevie?
Jules, come on, stick up for me.
Okay, go on then.
It's a penalty. Listen, if I'm going towards... And he's talking about, well, Sergeant puts himself across. Oh, there's a shock. Moreno used to do that forever.
Yay.
Get his body across, and if somebody's stupid enough to either run into it or kick it, then it's a penalty or a foul.
Yeah, but if you can't get out the way, when you're trying to take a natural
stride... It's your job to get out of the way.
No,
it's your job
no,
not to run into the back of
no,
people.
No, it's not your job. It's not your job to get out the way of an opposing player. That's not your job.
Would you say it's a smart move for any forward in the box to put his body in front of a defender because they might be stupid enough to bang him? Well, there you go. So what do you think? What's just his body's in the way and brain dead, just barrels, tries to get the ball. He's only got his blinkers on. Kicks him in the back of the leg.
Jules will stick off for me.
Apparently.
Come on, Jules. Come on.
Just by pity and solidarity for the London team against the Bristol Connecticut team, I will go with Don and say that it's not.
Yeah!
Hey, you're getting a pity point.
That's pity a pity point. Point, Dom.
Pity point, yeah, Dom. Exactly. That's it.
Ali, we know what you're going to say. Yeah?
Okay. Well, you're responsible for your body. This whole thing of like, oh, he's just running and he just can't get out of the way. No, as a defender or any player for the matter, you're responsible for your body. It's not like you can just kick somebody in the box, whether that touch was bad or not, that's irrelevant. You kick somebody, that's a penalty.
Just a reminder, plenty more content from us over on our YouTube channel. Be sure to subscribe. I think there's a video somewhere of Don saying there's a penalty.
Not a penalty. Penalty.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. The dates were today confirmed for the remaining German Cup matches. Of course, one tie left in the quarterfinals. It'll be Jan Regensburg take on Werder Bremen. The winner of that game will take on Leipzig on May the 2nd. Preceding that, it is Borussia Dortmund against Holstein Kiel on May the 1st. All these games available on our ESPN networks. Let's welcome in, shall we, Steve Trundle and Casey Keller. Casey, as we're talking about Dortmund, I just wanted, from a goalkeeper's perspective, for the Brandt goal, why doesn't the goalkeeper, I don't know, maybe use his hands?
This is a really good question. This kind of goes down to one of those where you're just completely fooled. It happens every once in a while. He gets kind of stuck in between. Is this ball going to go low enough where my palm's down, or is it high enough where my palms go up? And in the end, he does neither. Oh. And it is. It's just mark it down to a big mistake.
Yeah, it's one of those. It doesn't get any better every time you see it either. Steve, of course, that part of a 2-0 victory for Borussia Dortmund, who've just turned things around slightly, haven't they, domestically, pushing for a place in a top four. If I was to put you in the spot and say, what percentage chance would you say now of them qualifying for the Champions League, considering they are 2 points adrift of Eintracht Frankfurt, what percentage would you give me?
I'm going to be brave and say it's about a 60% chance they qualify for a Champions League spot.
60%? What are your concerns?
My concerns are that it's not in their hands anymore, so they have to... they're not allowed to make any more mistakes. So any mistakes they make, other teams win. It's going to put them further down in that hole that they've dug themselves into. So, but the other hand, they have the quality to continue to win games and go on a streak like they've been on. But at some point, this team has shown us and proved in the past that consistency is not their best quality. So they will lose games again. It's just a matter of how many and how many the other teams win. So that's why I'm at 60%.
In a classic game show manner, I'll ask you, Casey, higher or lower?
I think a slightly higher, but I think Steve has it pretty darn close, because I just don't think Wolfsburg's going to lose many matches. I think they're playing very well. You know, Frankfurt have been, you know, one of the best teams in the second half of the season. So, yes, that was a tough match the other day where I thought RB Leipzig were the better side, but you could see the game plan of Eintracht Frankfurt. They have a lot of quality going forward. They're happy to pack it in and hit on the counterattack. So they are going to be a difficult team to beat. But I truly believe that if Dortmund stay healthy, they probably have just the stronger squad and can make up that difference.
The answer we were looking for was 59%. Congratulations. The winner gets to be the new coach of Las Vegas Lights. Congratulations, Steve. Let's take a look then at the Champions League odds, shall we? Bayern Munich 3-1. Manchester City remain favourites at 9-4. Bayern excellent at the weekend in their victory over Werder Bremen, Steve. Let's say they met up with Manchester City tomorrow. Who would you have winning that tie?
I still think Man City gets the edge here. Even though Bayern Munich seems to be firing all engines, they're getting some players back. Their health issues have pretty much been put to rest. I still see Manchester City right now as the best team in all of Europe, purely because they can beat you in any other way right now. And their possession game is on point right now. They're finishing goals. They're finishing their chances. They're not conceding very many goals, and they certainly look to have the confidence. And Bayern Munich. I think you can say a lot of those things about them as well, but the one thing going against them is they seem a bit fatigued, rightly so. It's a long season, it's a cramped schedule, and there's only more to come. So right now, I give the edge to Man City.
Casey?
Yeah, I still look at Bayern defensively, and just looking at the game the other day, yes, they were in absolute complete control against Werder Bremen. They looked good. They looked like they were back to the concentration defensively, see games out, you know, keep clean sheets. And then, you know, that last 10 minutes, I mean, they put some subs on and the concentration wavered. And I don't know if that's part of what Steve was talking about, the fatigue factor, and maybe mentally they'd already switched off and Werder Bremen got a goal and very easily could have got one or two more and really had a real shock there to Bayern. And that's, for me, is my biggest worry when it comes to Bayern, is just the overall team defensively. It's just not what you expect, you know, from the team and the stature of a Bayern Munich.
Bayern Munich, of course, looking to match that exceptional campaign last year, led by Hansi Flick. And maybe in surprise to some, obviously, Jogi Löw announcing last week that he'll be leaving at the end of this summer's Euros. And it suggested in the German press that Hansi Flick wants to take over that coaching role, Steve. Not happy with some of the transfers maybe that were made at Bayern over the summer. However, I don't know, you lived in Germany for a long time. Which is the bigger job, the German national team or Bayern Munich?
It's a tough question. I need to be careful how I answer that. But I think Bayern Munich is the bigger job because you have more games, because your schedule is so tight, and you're expected to win every title and every competition you set foot in. And, of course, the DFB expects the national team to do well and to field a team that could become world champions or European champions this summer. But is it expected of the coach? That I'm not sure. And I think right now Hansi Flick is in a place where he is very happy and he's doing a fantastic job. I don't really see him moving, and I don't see Bayern Munich giving him up yet.
Casey, what do you think?
Well, I've read some things and I've heard some rumors that Hansi Flick is disappointed with kind of the power structure at Bayern Munich and that he, you know, isn't given maybe enough of control over the decisions in personnel. And we know, obviously, there's a ton of huge personalities involved in the Bayern Munich hierarchy. But the big question is you know, Steve made a great point. You know, the difference between club versus country is, you know, club, it's every day. And it's a situation where you're involved so much. National team, it's a reason, I think, why you see kind of coaches that are a little bit older take national team jobs, because you do have those long breaks in between camps. And it's a lot of just watching games and looking at players. And it's not the day-to-day that so many coaches like. So I'm not sure if Hansi Flick is ready for the national team job on that aspect. But then at the same time, he would have probably full control of who he pulls into his squad. The big question is, too, is let's say he's not happy at Bayern Munich. Where do you go from Bayern Munich? Mm. You know, it's not like he's going to say, oh, look, there's a job open now at Gladbach, or there's a job open at Frankfurt. You know, you don't go from Bayern Munich to Frankfurt when you've been that successful. So there's only a few opportunities that Hansi Flick would look at and go, okay, this is either at least sideways, if not up. And in Germany, the only other option is a national team job.
Boys, as you're here, I just want to one last thing with you. The news that Yunus Musa has decided he will represent the U.S. men's national team and he have the opportunity to play for England, who he represented 32 times at youth level. I know you're all over Twitter, Casey. If you were to believe social media, the U.S. have basically acquired someone who will win the Ballon d'Or and lead the U.S. to success in 2026.
Look, this is a young kid, and it's a young kid who's done very well to, you know, break into the Valencia first team. I mean, okay, he's used mostly as a sub for Valencia, and it makes sense. Look, he's a young kid. It's a huge club. And it's also, you know, when you look at this, I find it interesting because, you know, Musa, it's, you know, he has an American passport because his family was on vacation and his mom gave birth in America, but he's never really lived here, and he's lived in Italy and he's lived in England, and he's, you know, his parents are Ghanaian. So it is, it's kind of a, you know, where is his heart really at? And it's not like he, you know, Steve and I grew up in one country. We had one choice, right? We played for America or we didn't play for a national team. So it was really simple. You know, this kid, you know, it has options, but if you look at those options, you know, closer is Gareth Southgate calling him every day saying, look, kid, I want you for the Euros this weekend? Is Mancini calling him from Italy and saying, you know, you're going to be big in my plans for the Euros this summer? Probably not. And I think Greg and his staff have done a phenomenal job at just, you know, keeping tabs on him, keeping communication. And look, everybody loves being courted. Everybody loves when people are calling you and they're interested and they care about what you're doing. And Greg did a brilliant job of doing that. And Musa has made that decision. But I think we need to temper, you know, it is an 18-year-old kid. And yes, there's a lot of talent there. And it's phenomenal that he's chose the United States. But let's just calm down a little bit.
Steve?
I'm ecstatic that he chose the United States. I think it's great for the team. And obviously, hats off to Greg and the staff. They've done a fantastic job, as Casey pointed out. The reality in the end is, I think in the end, the U.S. is his best opportunity. And that's what he chose to do. I think it's the best team he can play for, where his chances of being called in regularly are very, very high. So in the end, it was, to me, the obvious choice, and I am very happy to have him in a U.S. jersey and can't wait to see him in qualifying and qualifying for a World Cup, because it is a very special feeling that I hope this group and this generation get to feel very soon.
Gentlemen, as always, thank you very much. For a lot more on Musa's decision to represent the U.S., be sure to check out the latest edition of Football America's Sebi and Hurt, breaking it all down. That's available now on ESPN+.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Big game for you live tomorrow. Bournemouth taking on Swansea. Bournemouth with a chance to close the gap on Barnsley. Meanwhile, Swansea with the opportunity to move up to second in the table. That's it. That spinning ball is nuts.
Yes,
That is crazy. I know. That brings us to the end of today's show. Be sure to stay tuned, though. Extra Time is next. Ali's still with us. Don and Stevie joining us as well to answer your tweets. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you very much for your tweets. Ali with me, as is Stevie. And Don, the picture you put up of one of your twins as Erling Haaland was fantastic, I thought, over the weekend.
That was a cracker, wasn't it?
Very good. Is is he the favourite twin of the two? Obviously. Right then. Ali, how does it make... Stevie, you were part of many twins in your family, yes?
Yeah, I'm a twin, and my two big brothers are twins as well.
Did your parents have a favourite, like Don does?
No, we were not. We had normal parents, unlike Don.
Ali, how does it make any sense? How does this make any sense for Barcelona to look for Aguero this summer? Would he not fall into the same category as Luis Suarez, someone they were so desperate to get rid of that they ended up letting him go to a direct rival for absolutely nothing?
Well, with that sort of drama that you asked me the question, Dan, it doesn't make any sense. Barcelona, they have to stop planning for the short term. And they have to continue this movement they have of young players that has worked to some degree. And you have found some answers that I don't think you really thought you had. So Pedri has become a player. You're getting something out of Dembele. You're getting something out of Trincao. There's Ricky Puig. There's Mingueza. There is Ronald Araujo. There are things here that you want to build on. Sergio Aguero, as good as he has been, it's not something that you're going to build on long-term. It's only a short-term answer.
Ali, is it in Real Madrid and Hazard's best interest to part ways with each other this summer after yet another injury to the Belgian?
Yep.
Well, yeah, I'm sure.
Yep.
Hazard isn't going to go, oh, you know that nice contract? Yeah. Don't worry about that.
Yeah. It's in the best interest of Real Madrid.
Yeah, of course.
Who brought this guy? Who made this decision?
Hazard, I would suggest he would have the same different have ideas. Uh-huh. Don, do you think that Luke Shaw is the most improved player this season?
Yeah, I think probably so, Dan. I think where he's come from since the Jose Mourinho days and what he's done to look after himself. I always question what Luke Shaw was like off the pitch. I don't think he lived his lifestyle in the right way, but my word, I've watched him this season. He looks fit, he looks sharp, he can do box-to-box runs for fun, and he's probably put himself in number one contention for that left-back spot for England.
Don, how much was it to do with Alex Telles coming in?
Maybe quite a lot, Dan. Good point. I think competition for places is always key. It just gives you a little jolt as a player. If you think a brand new signing's coming in like Telles, you think he's going to be the number one left back, it raises your game by probably 5 or 10%. Yeah, I think it's just the fitness levels that I'm watching Luke Shaw. He's so much better. As I said before, he's making late runs into the box now. He doesn't seem tired, doesn't seem to take an age, getting back in position, and the game looks very comfortable for him at the moment.
This is going to sound derogatory, and I don't mean it to, Stevie. What does that tell you about Luke Shaw, that he needed somebody to come in to push him like this?
It's very hard to argue with that, Dan. I think it's probably the first thing that comes to your mind. The question is, what's going to happen to Luke Shaw if he picks up an injury and he's out for 3 or 4 weeks? Is he going to go back to the old Luke Shaw? Mm. Or is he going to have learned from what he's been doing wrong the first, what, 2 or 3 seasons at United? That would be the real tester. Listen, it's very easy when you're playing well and you're fit and everything's working and you're ticking over nicely and you're winning games. The real test will come when he picks up an injury and misses 3 or 4 weeks, and then we'll see whether Luke Shaw has matured, has learned, or whether this is just a temporary fix.
Did you hear Don say that you made a good point, Dan?
Well, yes.
Yeah, see?
Woo! Credit. Credit, Ali. Credit.
Hey.
There's nothing a lot.
You should be proud of yourself, Dan.
I was going to bring up something and I decided not to. Oh. In tribute to Paul Pogba's 28th birthday, should United and Juventus consider a Pogba for Ronaldo swap, Don? Who benefits more from this deal?
What? Where do these questions come from?
Our viewers, be careful.
I know, great question. That's one of the best questions we've ever had on this show. Man United are not even thinking taking Ronaldo. No chance. Not a chance. They are looking at Erling Haaland. They are looking at young players. And listen, Ronaldo, I think, is brilliant, but no big club's really going to take him now. I mean, I heard rumours that he might be going back to Real Madrid. I don't see that one happening. So Juve seem quite pleased. Got a hat-trick at the weekend. He's bounced back. Everything's good. Just let him enjoy his lifestyle at Juve.
Don, you're talking as if he's past it. Gone.
No, he's not past it, but he's not. He's not going to take Man U to where they want to be, is he? You know, Ronaldo and Messi have been giants of the game for 15 years. You can't be expecting Messi to take Barcelona back to the very top on his own, and nor Ronaldo to take Juve back to the top on his own, or Man United. They're looking at the next generation, like Mbappe, like Erling Haaland.
They're not going to get them, though, Don.
They might get Haaland.
Not really. They had a chance to get him. Didn't, missed out on it. That's it. Done.
No, how do you know that? Let me tell you now. They missed out on Sancho and they might have had a lucky escape there. If they go all in for Haaland, by the way, what a signing he would be for anyone.
Why would Erling Haaland go to Manchester United, Don?
Why wouldn't he? Because they're one of the biggest clubs in the world. Why?
Because they're not competitive.
Well, ask him that when they say, we'll pay you £300,000 a week. When Barcelona can't, when Real Madrid can't. Man City probably can, but I'm not sure he's Pep's sort of player. I think Pep would probably want someone like Harry Kane or Mbappe, someone technically a little bit more gifted. But Erling Haaland, if he comes on the market, everyone's trying to buy him.
Okay. All right. I was sort of going with the argument up until he said that Pep would turn down Erling Haaland.
Because I didn't say turn him down.
Well, you say he's not his kind of player. I mean, are you kidding me? Who doesn't want to have Erling Haaland in their team?
No, I say that loosely. But if you try and imagine a striker that Guardiola wants to work with, would he want? And I say this in a nice way: the madman that is Erling Haaland, because he just bulldozes everyone out of his way, and he's absolutely brilliant. He's just a new breed of centre forward. Or would Pep want a cultured centre forward like Harry Kane? I see Kane more of a fit for Pep. I see Haaland at Liverpool or Man United.
Oh, Liverpool are there, Stevie.
Hey! Liverpool, who may not have Champions League, by the way.
When it comes to transfer speculation, Dan's your man.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no reason why we need Gab Mercotti when we've got Dan, because he clearly has his finger on the pulse.
Haaland's not going to be staying at Dortmund next season, is he?
Haaland's not.
He's not.
Why would Haaland... Hold on, Dan. Dan, really. If somebody says to Haaland at Man United, by the way, you could be the next greatest superstar at Old Trafford to take us to a Premier League title and back into Europe. Well, you know, that could be the thing that sways it, to become the man. Instead of going and joining Man City or as you said, Liverpool or wherever, to go and be the kingpin at Old Trafford and take United back to the very top, that's the kind of thing that would sway a young man's head, if you ask me.
Well, if we're on that topic, Stevie, then Real Madrid or Barcelona approaching you and saying, I'm going to make you the kingpin, that sways his head even more, doesn't it?
Well, the problem right now is, Dan, that we don't actually know whether they have the money to do that. Manchester United, I think, right now, from my limited knowledge, have money. And if Dortmund don't get into Europe and Haaland decides, you know what, I need to get away, then yes, every club might want them, but the ones that can afford them could be pretty slim.
There's the reason why Barca are trying to sign Gini Wijnaldum and maybe Sergio Aguero, because they're free transfers. They ain't got any money.
But yes, but they still have to pay them, Don. Free transfer doesn't mean you come in for
point.
Give you a free kick.
Listen to that tone. Listen to the tone of Thomas.
My point is, Daniel.
They have to pay them.
If you're listening, Daniel, my point is Barca got the free transfers. They can't afford £100 million Erling Haaland or £120 million Kylian Mbappe. So they're out of the equation. Real Madrid are just absolutely skint, trying to sell everyone. Because they've got no money, so, and he ain't going to stay at Dortmund another year, so he's going to move somewhere.
He may be better off staying off in Dortmund for a year and allowing the market to normalize itself. And once the market regains the value of Erling Haaland and what he would be, then we're talking about a life-changing contract, much more so than it would be if he just jumps ship right now.
Pete is telling us to move on.
Oh, okay.
Don, what percentage do you give any English team of winning one of the European competitions?
What do you mean? Because so Man City, you've got every chance of winning the Champions League.
Okay.
Yeah. And Man United have got every chance of winning the Europa League.
Well,
so
yeah.
What's the question?
The question is, what percentage do you give an English team winning a European championship this year?
95%.
Whoa. Nice. There you go.
Whoa.
That's not bad, Don.
Whoa.
Don, did you ever see someone get hurt in goal celebration with everyone piling on top?
Never seen that before. I tell you what I don't like. When I see these players score goals and slide on their knees, I'm always thinking that's an ACL. That's an ACL waiting to happen. Ooh. I've never seen anyone get injured from a pylon.
No.
We call it a pylon. We call it a pylon in the northeast. I think in London it's called a bundle.
Oh.
But...
In what Cornwall, it's Christmas.
Yeah, what about the South?
Well, what do you call it then? What do you call it over there? What do you call a pylon?
No, a pylon is what you call it. I think that's fair enough.
But I say pylon down here, and everyone goes, "What's he talking about, pylon?"
Stevie,
what's
I'm thinking about pylon. Who is the Arsenal player? Steve Morrow, wasn't it?
Oh,
Steve Morrow. Yeah. After the cup final, well, the game was over.
Yeah.
And he jumped on Tony Adams.
Yeah.
And Tony Adams dropped him and he landed on his arm and broke it.
Gas and air, wasn't it? It was gas and air and everything.
Where are we now? For Ali, who in your opinion is the greatest non-Brazilian Argentinian South American footballer of all time, excluding yourself?
Good Lord. Teófilo Cubillas from Peru. Good enough.
That's fine. Okay. That's fine. Yeah.
That's right.
Kubia scored the free kick against Alan Ruff, so he must be pretty good.
Don.
Alan Ruff played for Scotland, by the way. In goal.
This is well before your time, Dan.
Don. Yeah. Don, as an English-born Scotsman, did you ever receive any grief from your Scottish-born countrymen on international duty?
The odd little bit, but we had Neil Sullivan, we had Matty Elliott, who was at Leicester at the time, three English-born lads who were playing for Scotland. The boys were all right. It was more the tabloids up in Scotland. They were a little bit negative. And then they realised what sort of type of player you're on. You give 100% and then you score a few goals and Scotland win a few games and then you're all right again. But you get a little bit in the dressing room, but that's normal.
Just to break it down, Ali, but if you weren't good enough for England, you then go through your heritage and decide whether or not you can play for other places like Scotland.
Don't be cheeky, Daniel, because when England played Scotland, Kevin Keegan asked if you could take one Scottish player and put him in the England 11, who would you take? Myself.
Oh my God. Honestly, what?
Really? I'm just answering the questions here, Ali.
He just wanted to tell the story. Yeah, because Kevin Keegan said that I was the best. Yeah. Hey, Carlos Valderrama as well. Asperilla. I mean, I can come up with names if you want me to.
Final question. It's the big one for you, Don.
Oh, no.
Could you eat a burger that had fresh cheese that wasn't melted?
No, because there would still be an element of it getting warm and then starting to melt if I didn't eat it in a hurry. No, it's just a no.
No.
I'm not a cheese man on a burger. It's not me.
No, it's not happening.
No, nah.
But
unless there's money involved. I mean, if you offer me money.
Why would I pay you to eat? Do it. That's like Stevie getting people to pay for him to lose weight.
If you put a grand on the table, I'm doing it.
Okay, but a plain burger he would eat.
A plain, yes. Anything with melted cheese he doesn't like, unless it's a lasagna or other things.
Chili sauce, yes. I'm all over chili sauce.
Stevie, what are you having for dinner tonight?
You know what I'm having for dinner tonight, Thomas.
What is it?
A nice burger, a nice shepherd's pie, something like that?
No, tonight, no. I'm having soup. Some homemade soup.
Oh, lovely. Yeah. Very nice.
Yeah, what are you going to have when you're hungry an hour later?
Stevie will be in bed by 8 o'clock.
Zero.
That sounds like you've got a lovely evening ahead of you, Stevie. Good
Very
stuff.
Exciting.
Yeah, I can't wait.
That's it. Don, go and kiss your favourite twin goodnight. That is it. We'll be back tomorrow for more reflecting on Atalanta against Real Madrid. Plus, Borussia
said I was the best
against Manchester City.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.